The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, on the heels of the Killer Bees tonight. And Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. Well, it's the best in soccer talk. We're going to pound it out for an hour here. We're getting after everything. And the soccer world just keeps on giving. Bayer Leverkusen thumped Werder Bremen 5-0. They've won the Bundesliga title, ending the reign of Bayern Munich for 11 years. Spectacular from Xabi Alonso. I hope Xabi Alonso doesn't leave Bayer Leverkusen. Call in number tonight, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Tanner Tessman, the former FC Dallas youth player, 3 years there as a youth player, scored 2 goals. Venezia defeated Brescia 2-0. Tessman bagging both goals in the 20th and 90th. You know, these are things that there's American players in lower divisions all over Europe that are successful, that have started out in MLS clubs here. Arsenal and Liverpool drop points. City now grabs the pole position. Remember 2 weeks ago, people were closing the door on City. That's it. They're not going to win the Premier League. Well, guess what? They're in the pole position now. Arsenal and Liverpool, it was a tough weekend for them. 713-780-3776, 72,610 for Inter Miami, visiting Arrowhead Stadium and Sporting Kansas City. For all of you who bagged on Messi with the rough outing for Inter Miami in Monterey, well, guess what? He had a goal and an assist, and 72,000 people, that's drawing power. And he shined after the rough outing in Monterey. In-studio guests tonight, segment number two. The great, the one and only Andrew Carlson, the Arsenal unabashed fan, will be joining us here tonight. Also, so many years producing this show, doing just an incredible job. It's going to be fun to have Andrew in studio. Paul Matty of the Space City Lions, which is an Aston Villa supporters group here in Houston. Paul will come in. Paul reminded me he was on the show a number of years ago after Aston Villa pulling off exceptional 90 minutes against Arsenal. So we'll talk to both Andrew and Paul about that. Caitlin Clark is expected, I think, in about 25 minutes to go number one in the WNBA draft. I don't know if you saw her on Saturday Night Live. It was a great skit. This kid's got it all. 22 years old. At the end of the skit on Saturday Night Live, names a number of WNBA players. Thanks them for opening the door for her to come into the league. Playing basketball. Class act, this kid thinks. I kind of thought some of those WNBA players were, I don't know, a little jealous. I didn't get it. This woman is shining the light on women's sports, women's basketball, and doing it in real style as a 22-year-old. World Cup 2026, it's right here in Houston. Of course, throughout the United States, Mexico, and Canada. You go from the smallest geographic World Cup in history in Qatar to the largest ever being hosted in three countries now. So it's U.S., Mexico, and Canada. People are already lining up for tickets, by the way. Accommodations. They're schmoozing for the free tickets. It's all on. I will, even without revealing who they are, I've had three people ask me if I can get them tickets to the World Cup in 2026. Guess what, Guillermo, producer? I referred them to you. I gave them your number. So get them lined up, all right? But you got fans that are going to try to attend games in multiple cities. They're going to come from all over the world. They're figuring out lodging, expenses, and more. And something tells me my base of friends will get bigger and larger as we get closer to World Cup 2026. But we're going to see passion like no other. We get a taste of it this summer with the Copa America. And the Copa America is going to be off the chains. Mexico, Jamaica, you got Colombia, Paraguay. I would suggest people hit that Colombia-Paraguay game. Colombia's got a great team. They're undefeated in 20-plus right now. Got a lot of Colombian soccer fans here. But there will be people flying in for the Copa America as well. So be ready for that. I'm going to talk Maria Sanchez a little bit later, and I'm going to show you why this is actually the sign of the times when it comes to the NWSL. But Maria Sanchez of the Houston Dash has requested a trade before the deadline this Friday. The Dash lost 3-1 to Washington. They're getting more attention now off of this than they've gotten in a number of years. This per Jeff Kasoff. Dash are 1-2-1. So we'll talk about that tonight. Maria Sanchez got a contract from the Houston Dash for $1.5 million over a couple of years. That's life-changing money. And we'll talk more about this tonight. But this is a very unique, very interesting situation. I don't think it's anything anybody should be worried about because, look, as you grow as the NWSL, these types of things are going to occur. Players aren't going to just play because they want to play anymore. And if they feel they deserve money, they're going to want it. On the other hand, here's a young lady whose life was changed with the amount of the contract given to her by the Houston Dash. And now she wants to break the contract. She wants to leave. So we'll talk about that. Houston Dynamo on a great run right now, finding ways to win games. They go to Minnesota. They win 2-1. It's their second multi-goal game they'll play on the weekend against Austin FC. But I want to start it tonight. Let's go to what is one of the great stories, and it may be the great story in world soccer. It's Bayer Leverkusen, undefeated in the German Bundesliga. This weekend, per a 5-0 win over Werder Bremen, they win the Bundesliga title. They break 11 straight from Bayern Munich. They are also undefeated in the Europa League, where they will play West Ham Thursday. They're up 2-0 on aggregate in that in the Europa League. This is one of the great stories in world soccer, and because it doesn't have the name Barcelona, Man City, PSG, it doesn't get the run, right? This is a story. This coaching job by Xabi Alonso is remarkable. So here is Florian Wirtz, who has been one of the big goal scorers for Bayer Leverkusen. He gets the fifth goal, this seals his hat trick, and a 5-0 victory over Werder Bremen. More importantly, this secures the Bundesliga title.
They'll break away here. Can they find one more goal to round the afternoon off? What a pass for Wirtz, who's never scored a senior hat-trick. He has now. Extraordinary. Florian Wirtz, what a time to pitch to score your first ever hat-trick.
By the way, the final whistle goes. Here's what it sounds like. And once the final whistle goes, the field just gets invaded. I mean, this is passion. I mean, you watch these fans and what it means to them for Leverkusen. I even took an aspirin for Bayer Leverkusen after that, just in their honor. So after the surgery, I don't clot. And I've been taking Bayer Leverkusen aspirin ever since. But here's the final whistle. Here's what it sounded like. And there was a huge pitch invasion. The celebration was on.
And now we can say it. Forget Leverkusen, forget Vizekusen, runners-up Kusen. Say hello to Meisterkusen. And that is going to be that in terms of the story of this game. The final whistle is sounding. Now they can exhale. Now they can celebrate. Leverkusen is Deutscher Fußballmeister.
Yeah, there was some good German beer drank that night. That's my friend Derek Ray, the commentator on that. Xabi Alonso on winning the title. This is remarkable for this coach, who is a very young coach and now is being obviously coveted by other teams. But Xabi Alonso has kind of made it clear he's staying put at Bayer Leverkusen, but we'll see about that. Here's Xabi Alonso on winning the title.
It feels great because I have the feeling that this is not just for us. This is for so many people that they've been chasing this dream for so many years. I have in mind the old coaches, Christoph Daum, Klaus Tuchmüller, Roger Schmidt. They were here and they are part of it as well. And for me, it's so great to bring success and to be part of this success with this team. It's always special when it's the first time of everything. and when it's the first time of a Bundesliga title, that is the most difficult title probably. It feels great, and I'm so happy to enjoy it with the players, with the fans, with the club, and so many people that deserve to really, really enjoy the moment.
So that was Xabi Alonso. Don't you love a great coach? And listen, when you win, it's easier to spread the love around, but you love the fact that he doesn't forget, and he's mentioning coaches from the past who all are a part of it. It's wonderful to see people do that. That's leadership. That's confidence, engaging others, bringing in others that have more knowledge than you do. These days, we get so many people that are protected and almost scared to get the input from others that know more. It's just a shame that that's the way we see a lot of things working. Not in the case of Xabi Alonso. That's wonderful stuff for Bayer Leverkusen. Just amazing. And what a season. I mean, these guys are still undefeated. It would be amazing if they run the Europa League and they run the Bundesliga going without a loss. Now, we had the Classico Reggio this past weekend. I mean, there were goals flying everywhere. 6 goals in this one. It's a 3-3 draw between Rayados and Tigres. And here's a synopsis of 3 of the goals. We'll tell you who the goal scorers are after you hear the passion.
Haz que tus logros cuenten, viene por lo pronto la pelota, no hubo falta, la tiene Guignac, filtra esta, puede ser el tercero gol.
Gol! That was Juan Brunetta.
Ah, qué buen pase de Jordi, viene Arteaga, el descuento, gol. Gol!
Arteaga puts Rayados up 3-2 at this point, but 90 plus 10... Bertarame, the Argentine, tying it for Rayados.
Ah, pues juegue entonces.
Claro, vámonos.
Vámonos.
Querías 10, Marco.
Quería 10, me los cumplieron.
¡Ah! No, que no. No, que no. No, que no. No, que no.
Aparece Bertarame. En el último suspiro. En el último segundo se levanta Berterame, pone el remate para el empate agónico la raya. Los Tigres reclaman Rayados.
All right, we got another 2 segments. By the way, Berterame tying it again, 90 plus 10. So you just think of this game that we love so much. Leverkusen, Germany. Entire city's going nuts. Monterrey, Mexico. An entire city's going nuts. And by the way, the amount of fans we have here, Rayados and Tigres in Houston, is crazy. That's why Tigres is going to play Inter-Miami and Lionel Messi on August 3rd. You can get your tickets for that. That's Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, LSSE.net. By the way, they're pretty reasonable. I think you got to act now. I don't know how many of the lower-priced tickets are available, but I think you can get in there for either $50 to $60 to see Messi. Now, look, he just drew 72,000 at Sporting Kansas City in MLS. He's going to draw 60-plus here in Houston, no question. Plus, you got Brazil, right, taking on Mexico up in College Station. How about that? The Canary Yellow Brazilian national team is going to invade College Station. They're not going to know what hit them up there in Aggie Land. The 5-time World Cup winners are going to be there. Name of the song again? I pulled some really different music, Guillermo.
It's called Drastic Measures by Bayonet.
Oh, yeah. No, by Bayonne.
Bayonne.
Bayonne. Now, that could be Bayonne, New Jersey. I don't know. We can say it either way. Very cool song, though. I pulled some different stuff here tonight, so I hope everybody likes that. I hope my friends at Cactus Music give me the approval. I think we got Black Camaro coming up in the next segment. Is that what we have?
That is indeed what we have.
Yeah, Black Camaro. This is a cool band. You're going to like this sound as well. All right, we're going to take a break here. Again, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, pitch 25. And Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10, the Marquee Entertainment Center. That's where you're going to watch tomorrow, the UEFA Champions League. You get a number of really, really good games tomorrow. Who we got tomorrow? We got, we got Manchester City, Real Madrid tomorrow. No? That's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's the Barca PSG.
Oh, Barca
PSG. Dortmund Atletico Madrid.
Oh, Barca PSG's tomorrow. That's right. Good. Okay, because then Wednesday we have Jordi Sunyer from TV3 in Barcelona on to review that game. So it's great. Okay, right now, caller number 5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo Austin FC rivalry match on the weekend at Shell Energy Stadium. And coming up next, Paul Matty, Space City Lions, and the one and only Andrew Carlson, former great producer who has helped put Soccer Matters on the map. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, Daspit Law Firm.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody, as we continue on Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I just got a quick word here from one of our great sponsors. And find it here. Well, I don't even need to check it out. It's Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Jan Christensen, if you want the best in modern contemporary furniture, you go over to Danish Inspirations. Jan, his son Yannick Christensen, my house full of the product, stressless lounge chair, huge L-shaped couch, beautiful leather chairs, work perfectly with my island. Danish Inspirations. .com. So that's Jan Christensen and Danish Inspirations. By the way, my friend at Cactus Music, Quinn, is probably going to be happy that I played Black Camaro. Because if anybody knows who Black Camaro is, he would know. And then, of course, we're 13 days out from the Rolling Stones. But right now, let's talk some Premier League. Let's talk maybe the greatest Arsenal fan in Houston. That could be debatable. He is the former producer of this show, did a lot of really great work. First off, I just want to, I don't know if I ever really got to thank you for everything you've done for this show. And by the way, when you hear this on the air, Andrew Carlson is with us, who has been our producer and has done so much good work. I made him angry a few times during my career, but he joins us tonight. Andrew, how are you?
You were too kind, Glenn. Too kind. Now, of those statements, me being the biggest Arsenal fan, me being the former producer, one of them is factual. I'll let you guys decide which one it is. But yeah, it's very strange to be back on this side of things, you know, not sitting where the fantastic Guillermo is standing right now. But yeah, it's great to be back in these old stomping grounds for a little bit.
Now, is this the first time you've come back?
Yeah, this is the first time since I've left. So yeah,
it's awesome.
Should be fun.
So I'm the only one not wearing a jersey, and we're going to take a picture with Andrew because he's got a really cool Arsenal jersey, which this is good for running at night, by the way, as well. And then you got Guillermo in there showing off because Messi scored in front of 72,000 against Sport. So he's got a Messi Barca shirt with Barca playing tomorrow. All right. You know, I know how deep of a fan you are for Arsenal. You and I sometimes text during the games. We have fun with that. Just tell me where this great ride has taken you this year, and then we'll get into, you know, the chances of winning the Premier League. But just kind of how Arteta and Arsenal have really affected you this year and the joy it has been to watch this team play.
It's been pretty remarkable, especially given the expectations at the start of the season, and then you go through a bit of a lull, especially in the December period, where all of a sudden you're looking at it, okay, maybe this is more of a transition year as we look to bed in Declan Rice. And as fantastic a player as he is, he doesn't have quite the progressive passing ability that some of the midfielders over the past couple of seasons, especially Thomas Partey, had. So you're looking at, okay, maybe the Mikel Arteta, as he's bedding in some of these players and a slightly different style of play, that perhaps it's a down year. And instead of challenging for the Premier League like people expected, maybe you're finishing second or third, because Liverpool had just, they'd been riding that crest of emotion with Jurgen Klopp leaving. And then the new year turns and you hit this incredible, incredible run of form. And I don't know if you've seen all the statistics, Glenn, but coming into the game against Aston Villa, since the new year had come around, in the 11 games that Arsenal played in the Premier League, 1-10, drawn 1. That draw was away at the Etihad to Manchester City. They had scored.
Well, they took 4 points off.
Took
sure.
4 points off of. Took 4 points yeah. off of Liverpool as well. Scored 38 goals, conceded 4. I mean, it has just been incredible, and it's just been absolutely remarkable. It's a truly historic run that they've been on. But that being said, they had dug themselves in such a hole with their performance earlier on in the season and that lull in the December period, to where you can take, what is that, 31 of 33 points available to start the 2024, and yet here you are tied on points at Liverpool at the top of the league heading into this past game week, and then obviously we all know what happened. But it's been a really fun ride, not just this past season, but the season before as well, to where the joy in watching Arsenal has been restored. And I think that if
great
nothing
culture
else,
change, yeah, great culture change.
If nothing else, I think that that's something that gets lost with the social media uproar that goes on with the week-to-week drama that happens in the Premier League. But yeah, it is a joy to get up and to watch Arsenal again. And that's something that for a long time I had lost that. And it felt like a, I don't want to say a burden to go watch them, but it almost felt like, oh, what's going to happen this week? And now there's a genuine excitement and passion to get up and watch your team every single week. And now I'm fortunate enough to watch with all the competitions they're playing in, watch them play every 3 days or so. And it really is great to have that passion sort of revitalized once again.
You would think if you took 8 out of 12 points against City and Liverpool, that would really steed you in the end here. That is pretty remarkable in itself. And actually, Arsenal's got a better record against the higher-end teams than Man City mm-hmm. does, even though City now has a two-point lead. So about 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying, well, that's it for City. They're not going to win the title. And, you know, we still have 6 games to go. So I'm looking at Arsenal. You got Wolves. You got Chelsea. You got Tottenham, which is obviously a huge game. Bournemouth, Manchester United, and Everton. That's the final 6 games.
Not easy. And look, you're going to Old Trafford, which has not been a happy hunting ground for you. You won at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for the first time last season, but it's going to be tough. And look, when your competition is Manchester City, it's always going to be difficult. And with about 9 games to go, when you look at the breakdown for all the teams, I would have said that to win the league, realistically, any of those teams will probably have to win 8 of their 9 remaining games. So while I think that it's probably a stretch for Arsenal to go out there and win their final 6 matches, it's not impossible. And look, Manchester City, for all the incredible run-ins that they have had over the years, and don't get me wrong, I do understand that once you give them an inch, they usually take it a mile, and they take it that mile across the finish line to finish in first place. But only once since Pep Guardiola has been there have they won the final 6 games of the season, and that was in 2019. So I understand that.
There's a nice piece of data to give everybody that's a Gooner fan a little bit of hope. Exactly. I like that one. You dropped that.
So I understand that you have this sort of sense in your mind that Manchester City are always going to have these unstoppable run-ins where they just dominate everyone in their path. And could that happen? Sure. But I think that there's a chance that there's one more twist in the tale that has yet to be told.
I think you're right. And listen, City and Arsenal are still in Champions League play, right?
Could play each other in a couple of weeks.
They're going to play each other. You got City playing Brighton. No easy game. Nottingham Forest. They're in a relegation battle. They're going to be contending to try and beat City. You got Wolves and Fulham, who are 11th and 12th currently. You got Spurs at 5. And then you got West Ham at 8. West Ham is not a pushover either. So I think anything's still possible here. You got 6 rounds to go. All right, let's get into the Arsenal Villa game. Let's start off with a game that was 0-0, and then, of course, one of the great goal scorers in the league, Ollie Watkins, would seal it for Villa, and this would be the second goal, I believe, of 2 in this one, and they would get a 2-0 victory over Arsenal.
Yuri Tielemans. Defender Smith Rowe, the last defender back, and Watkins chips it into the far corner, and Villa have done a real job on Arsenal with 2 goals in as many minutes. Horrible echoes of last season for the Gunners.
But actually, it was earlier that Leon Bailey came off the bench and got the game winner. Now, you know, Leon Bailey's interesting because you watch him with Jamaica and you're like, okay, it's a talented player. But, you know, it's amazing when a guy like him is then put into a team like Aston Villa, then what's around him almost enhances him even more. And he stands out even more in a subs role off the bench.
Oh, he's fantastic. He is, I think, that their most dangerous creative player in the final third. And I think he has a really good argument to be the best performing player from the CONCACAF region, frankly, for what he's done for Aston Villa this season. He's been an excellent, excellent player. And the minute that he came on, you knew that the pace that he was going to inject on the wing could be the sort of thing that would decide the game. Now, I don't think it was his pace that decided the game, but he put himself in a great position. And look, Villa,
he made an impact. Yeah, I mean, he was involved the minute he came.
Absolutely.
On the field.
Yeah. And look, Villa, I do not want to discredit them at all for the performance that they had, because they were excellent throughout the course of the day and they took their chances.
Now, off the bench, Smith Rowe, Martinelli, Nketiah, Tomiyasu, and Jorginho. Enough?
Yeah. Look, I think
that's
that,
five.
Yeah. This was a game to me that Mikel Arteta, and look, I might be looking at this through red and white lenses here, but this was a game that he coached to win by halftime and then to have a different setup in the second half. Now, I think that there are different ways that you could potentially look at it, but for me, Arsenal did not, you can't excuse going into halftime 0-0 given the chances that they created and the opportunities they had that they just simply did not take advantage of. And I'm not just talking about stuff where it directly resulted in a shot on goal, but Kai Havertz went through a couple of times, poor touch lets him down. Bukayo Saka, poor touch, instead of being able to shift it over to his left, ends up having to blast a shot wide with his weaker right foot. And there were opportunities to be had there, six or seven of them, that they should have converted at least one or two of them, and they simply didn't. And we both know, Glenn, this is a sport where if you do not take the opportunities that are given to you, all it does is it creates a sense of belief on the other side. And you saw that happen in the second half, where as Arsenal wilted, Villa got stronger and stronger. And by the end of that second half, Arsenal, like, you could tell the players' heads had dropped. I want to say after that first goal went in, but especially after that second goal went in. And the stands emptied, and it was a sad sight to see.
Andrew Carlson, former producer of Soccer Matters, a huge Arsenal fan, is always a part of this show, as we know. You know, I've always said, during your best of times, you gotta punctuate.
Absolutely.
It. You gotta put an exclamation point on it by taking what are your rewards, and that comes in the form of goals. And you'll hear coaches lament that all the time. All right, let's go to Arteta on the moment is now for Arsenal to react. We know Arteta's not giving up.
See, what we can control is when you have the run that we had and you win 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 and you draw and you win, 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 win. Easy to be a leader, easy to stand up, easy to stand here, easy to be around with the flow is now. The moment is now. After this blow, how we react, we have the best opportunity to react on Wednesday night against Bayern Munich. And now the team has to show it. And now we have to make sure that we react in the way that that if you want to win, you have to expect to overcome these situations.
Champions League against Bayern Munich Wednesday night. Now, Bayern Munich coming off the humiliation. In their world, they will call it humiliation because they're elitists in a lot of ways in the Bundesliga after losing out to Bayer Leverkusen. You could run into an angry bear that's been poked.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that they weren't winning the Bundesliga sort of clouded people's judgment heading into this Champions League tie with Arsenal. You look at that front line. You're talking about Serge Gnabry, Harry Kane, Leroy Sané. These are incredibly, incredibly talented players, and I would genuinely challenge anyone to go find a more talented front three all across Europe. Now, I understand that they do have problems, and that defensively they've got Eric Dier starting at center back, which you would not expect a club the caliber of Bayern Munich to have. But by and large, this is still a very, very dangerous team, and especially when you're allowing them to play on the counter. Like, when they came to the Emirates, you're allowing all that pace and talent to have acres of space because Arsenal are at home, they're expected to be on the front foot, and they're pushing forward. The last thing you want is Leroy Sané with his incredible pace and skill running at you. And
change of direction. He's got it all.
He glides with the ball so smoothly. And
that's going to be a fascinating watch, though, because, you know, you know, the drama and the soap opera that goes around with Bayern Munich when they don't win, it's going to be really interesting to see. And, you know, everybody's talking about, hey, it's the curse of Harry Kane. He can never win a trophy. He's at Bayern now. They're not going to win anything. But look, all their marbles are in the Champions League basket right now. They have dialed down on what their focus is in recent weeks.
Absolutely. And that's going to be just another hurdle for Arsenal to try and overcome there, because guess who gets to rest their players on the weekend and focus on the Champions League ties? It's Bayern Munich. It's not Arsenal. And it's going to be a very, very, very stern test, because you look at the past two seasons when Arsenal has started to crumble, it's been right around this time of year. And Mikel Arteta is 100% right. Who's going to step up? Who's going to be the leader and put their chest out and say, hey, the buck stops here, and okay, we had a deflating loss on the weekend, but what we're going to do is we're going to turn it around, and we're going to have a statement victory that is going to be one of the best nights our club has had in, what, 10, 15 years probably. So,
who is the signature leader, you think, for Arsenal right now? There's a lot of guys that are lead in different ways, but who would you say would be, if you had to pick one, who would it be?
It would have to be the captain, Martin Odegaard. Just, and maybe he's not always the vocal leader, but the way that he leads by example. And I don't know if there's a creative player in Europe who works as hard as he does off the ball. I mean, the next time that you get a chance to watch an Arsenal match, I urge you to highlight Martin Odegaard and just watch him and the work that he does off the ball on the pitch. I don't think that there's another creative player.
He does it when the ball's lost.
Oh, it is incredible.
I mean,
the amount of running he does.
Yeah. But that's a prerequisite if you're playing for Arteta now. Now, his managerial job is something special. He's changed the culture. Tell you what, stay with me, Andrew, because we're going to keep talking about some other interesting things here tonight. We might talk a little Liverpool. I do have to talk about the Dynamo and Dash coming up in this segment. By the way, on Wednesday, we are going to do a deep dive on the Dynamo Austin FC game. We'll have Jordi Sunyer on to break down Barcelona's game tomorrow. So we'll go straight to Barcelona. Look, nobody's international like us at Soccer Matters. I mean, well, nobody. Nobody. I mean, come on. When's the last time a radio show was talking to somebody in Barcelona in Houston? Okay, come on. Give us some just desserts here. By the way, we'd like a couple of phone calls, too. 713-780-3776. Call in with your takes on anything. I'm going to tell you why this is a positive situation with Maria Sanchez with the Houston Dash. And I know the team doesn't get coverage here. It's a team that's in the dark. But I'm going to tell you why this is positive, and it is a symbol of what's going on in women's sports as well. We'll take a break. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Get down to Pitch 25. 100 different beers down there. There's a soccer field there. That's where you watch the Champions League tomorrow. You watch Premier League there. You watch the Houston Dynamo there. They do watch parties. It's Pitch 25 in Edo. And look, if you want to experience the next best thing to actually being at the game, it's Pitch 25, and we appreciate Brian and Pitch 25 sponsorship of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. Time is running out. Let that be.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Copa America, June 22nd, it's Mexico, Jamaica, 7:30. June 24th, Colombia, Paraguay. And then July 4th is the quarterfinal. That's 8 o'clock. Now, look, if Argentina and Lionel Messi win their group, they will be there July 4th. Messi will be back in town again on August 3rd with Inter Miami to take on Tigres in the League's Cup. The Dynamo are also in the League's Cup, and they will take on Atlas. You can get your tickets for Copa America, plus a Brazil-Mexico friendly that's taking place in Collins Station, lsse.net. Now look, if you want the taste of what's going to happen in 2026, a competitive Copa America on U.S. soil is an absolutely beautiful thing. It's here. It's in the United States. It's an incredible continental trophy, and then it's got the advent of some of the CONCACAF teams, including the U.S. So it's Copa America, lsse.net for the tickets. Also, really good pricing on Tigres and Inter Miami if you want to see Lionel Messi. And, of course, 72,000 came out to Arrowhead Stadium to see him play this past weekend. The T-shirts for Soccer Matters. We got red in now for Arsenal fans.
There we go.
We won't mention Liverpool. Yes, we will. Liverpool fans, U of H Cougars. Come on, you Cougar women, let's go. Buy a few of these, Jaime Frias and U of H women's soccer. Buy some of these Soccer Matters red T-shirts. They're perfect for you. They're your colors. And then all proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. So we got red in over there now. We have the Dynamo and Dash orange as well. and we got the trucker hats. And I would say get the trucker hat that's got the gray and black. That's a pretty hip look. So that's LamontBrands.com, LamontBrands.com. And by the way, if you need any printing needs, Jerry and Mel Lamont, these are two ex-Marines. These guys are the nicest guys on the planet, and they will cut you a great deal. Okay, so we get back here. I do want to just make sure that we quickly get in this Maria Sanchez thing, and then we're going to bring Andrew back in, and we're going to talk a little bit about Granit Xhaka, who's over at Bayer Leverkusen, and some other Premier League stuff. But, all right, so the Dash lost the other night 3-1. New coach. They've had a boatload of coaches. Maria Sanchez has requested a trade before the deadline. This was after the 3-1 loss. There was a big 10-year celebration of the club's existence. I'm all for that. You existed. But you've only made the playoffs once. Okay, so we have to be honest where we position what has occurred here. And it seems like this club has been in a perennial rebuild for a long, long time. Like how about every year? Jeff Kasoff is the one who brought this out. The Dash are currently 1-2-1, and Maria Sanchez has an assist in 347 minutes. Now, if you remember, she got a life-changing $1.5 million contract from the Houston Dash. That's real money. That can change your life. I'm not sure anyone is going to assume that contract, but you now may have a very disgruntled player. Here's what the Dash put out. They said, quote, this was after ESPN asked for a statement. A Dash spokesperson, I would assume that's a general manager, Alex Singer, provided the following statement, quote, Maria Sanchez is under contract, the choice she made in free agency at the end of 2023. So welcome to the world of professional sports, and welcome to the world of women's sports growing, bigger contracts. These types of things will be more commonplace. This happens in the NFL, Major League Baseball, in the NBA. People want more. Women are not going to want to just play the game anymore just for playing the game. They're going to want to make a good living. By the way, if Jane Campbell saw Maria Sanchez getting $1.5 million, I would have told Jane's agent to go in there and double that, quite frankly, because Jane Campbell has been the franchise player, along with Rachel Daly, of this club. And I know how much Maria Sanchez has been marketed. They call her Bombi, and she's got a great left foot. Very technical. Doesn't have huge numbers. And you can also see it that if you changed your life with this contract from an organizational standpoint, you want her to honor the contract. That's life. This is the way it goes. So what's wrong? Maybe she got the inflated contract, because I'm not sure about that valuation based on her career. I think she's been good. She hasn't been dominant. She hasn't been dominant to be the highest paid player in the league when she got that contract. Is it the system now? Is it the new coach? Is it the fit? Now, I'm an analyst. I look at things very closely, and I noticed in these first couple of games, she doesn't look happy and she doesn't look comfortable. I would also maybe say I don't think she's 100% fit. She had thought she waned in a couple of games. I don't think she's a big asset when the ball's lost, but I didn't see her happy. And she is an exciting player. She's got a wonderful left foot. She was whipping a lot of crosses in the last game. She finally got up higher up the field. Last year, you know, with a team that sat back and defended on the counter, this wasn't how you wanted to play the game, because you couldn't get her up higher in the final third of an opponent to do damage with that left foot and or have Diana Ordonez in there to get on the end of it. So there's a lot of things going on here. So I don't know what the $1.5 million contract was. That performance, drawing power? Can't be drawing power, because the Dash are still struggling to get people down there. It's a bit of a head scratcher, to be honest with you. She's a talented player. She's got wonderful financial stability now. Beats the $2,500 a month I made after making the All-Star team in the 80s. I'm like, man, give me some of that Maria Sanchez money. But I don't know. You know, maybe the contract offer was bigger because they didn't want her to leave as a free agent. But she has been marketed more than anybody on this team. More heavily than anybody. She's not a noted goal scorer. She played at Idaho State, Santa Clara, Chicago Red Stars in 2019, 7 appearances, no goals. Then she went down to Liga MX, 21 appearances for Chivas, 5 goals, which it's pretty clear Liga MX Femenil is not at the quality and caliber of the NWSL quite yet, although it's improving. Tigres, she had 9 goals in 34 games, then came back to the Dash on loan and in 3 games scored 1 goal. And then since 2022, she has 7 goals in, I think, 49 or 50 games now. And she has represented Mexico 35 times. So, you know, with the tie to Tigres, you would expect maybe that's part of the connection here. Remember, as the competition increases, women's salaries grow based on brands like Barcelona and Arsenal and Man City. And this explosive growth, which in some ways is even highlighted by Caitlin Clark and what she's doing for sports overall for females and women's sports, this is actually a healthy sign that something like this is happening. Because this is what happens in sports. And players want more. And these are natural occurrences. It's not just about playing at the pro level anymore. It's about making a real living at it. And I think, you know, the women are now at a point where, okay, we want to make a real living at this. There's all this investment. We want ours as well. And I see this as progress. Andrew, a thought on this?
I think you hit the nail on the head early on when you said this is welcome to the real world of sports, to where these women aren't just happy to essentially go out and collect, you know, participation ribbon saying, hey, you know, at least we're going out and we're playing our sport. No, this is what happens when it enters the real world of sport, where there are consequences for actions and people, these are competitive athletes who want to go win things. And I hope that, not necessarily that more women request trade from the Dash, but this is the sort of thing that we see more of, where these sports matter enough to where we're getting the coverage of these sorts of things. Because I think 4 or 5 years ago, this sort of thing happens, it might not even hit a single outlet in mainstream media. Now you're talking about ESPN.
This is some of the most attention the Houston Dash has ever gotten. And listen, this is not bad press. This is what sports is about. And, you know, I always hear people here, oh, we want the Dash and the Dynamo on morning talk radio. Well, you're not going to get it on morning talk radio if it's a love affair 24/7. It's not, because people talk about bad calls in games, bad coaching. This is what it's about. And, you know, I watch the Prime Sports broadcast because I've called Women's World Cups during my career, been a big proponent of the women's game, coached women in the youth club that I was a director of. I've done multiple national championships with girls and women that are in the league now. I've called multiple women's national team games with Julie Foudy, Michelle Akers, on and on, right? I've done Longhorns with Christine Lilly, Mia Hamm. And I've seen this thing grow. And I've seen men and women fight for women's sports. But you are not going to grow this game by trying to condense everything into everything's great. Soccer fans in Houston know the Dash have made the playoffs once in their existence. They also know it's been a rough ride. Multiple coaches. And as much as I love the 10-year celebration, to watch a video of it on TV during the Prime broadcast celebrating 10 years, which that's exciting. You've been around 10 years. You've only made the playoffs once. The most defining moment in the club's history was making the playoffs and drawing 17,000 people to Shell Energy when Juan Carlos Amoros was the coach. Guess what wasn't in the package of their history? That moment.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't think people are out there and don't recognize that, that's a problem. We have to embrace it. We have to be confident in what we do. I hope this works out for the best. I'm pulling for the coach, Fran Alonso. This is not easy to come over from Europe and the Scottish Premier League in the women's game and then take over and coach in the NWSL. And we're getting a lot of Spanish coaches coming over, including the Barcelona coach. So I think there's so many exciting things going on that I don't think this should be something where everybody's up in arms. I think this is a natural progression with the growth of women's sports. Now, speaking of Granite Xhaka, you and I were talking in the break. He made a pretty good move going to Leverkusen, didn't he?
Yeah, not too bad, right? Gets second in the Premier League last season, and there had been rumors that he had sort of agitated for an exit a little bit earlier, but Mikel Arteta convinced him to stick around. and help shepherd some of these younger players as they grew with the team. And he was ready for a new challenge, and I think also with the new challenge, a contract that was longer than two more seasons. He got that at Bayer Leverkusen, and what a phenomenal move it's been. Look, he had a very interesting relationship with Arsenal over the years. The throwing the captain's armband off as he left the field once, as he was getting booed off the field by Arsenal fans against Crystal Palace at home in a game that they lost, to the sort of redemption arc that we saw last season. And he was someone who was often caught with the red mist, where he was prone to acts of aggression and some really dumb, silly challenges, but he matured into a really phenomenal player over his last couple of seasons in the Premier League. And he's a really, really good guy off the pitch from everything that we can tell and we can see. Now, obviously, we only get a slight glimpse into their lives, but he's someone who was beloved by everyone who came through at Arsenal, and I'm extremely happy for the success that he's having over in Germany.
Well, and I think we were also talking about Xabi Alonso saying he's going to stay there. You got a lot of younger players. I think these guys are going to, looks like, go back for another dose of trying to win this league a consecutive time and not let the thing break it up. Because usually you win titles, everybody wants a little bit more. I have the feeling, like you were saying in break, that this thing will remain intact.
I think so, especially because of the fact that they're not playing in the Champions League this season. If they were in a Champions League quarterfinal right now, I think that might be a little bit of a different discussion. But that competition means so much to everyone who plays over in Europe. And it's the dream of just, I think, about every player worldwide who has their sights set on playing professionally. They want to play in the Champions League at some point. And to do that with what clearly is a special group over at that club, I think it would mean a lot to those players. I think that there's, and look, obviously we have zero insight from a information standpoint, but just the vibe that I get from the interviews that I hear and the way that the players conduct themselves on the pitch, I would be willing to bet that there's almost sort of a handshake agreement in that dressing room to where we're going to run this back one more year in the Champions League and see what we can accomplish.
Yeah, I love that. All right, let's switch it into the Dynamo here. And we're going to go heavier on the Dynamo on Wednesday, and I'm trying to get Sebastian Kowalczyk, who scored that wonderful goal, trying to get him on for the interview. I called it Polish power. The Dynamo had two shots on target in this game, both by Kowalczyk. And this would be the game-winning goal in the 77th minute on the counterattack.
Trell with the big 3 points against Cincinnati. Meanwhile, Sebastian Kowalczyk goes through the legs. Kowalczyk with an excellent effort and a spectacular individual goal against the run of play and then some, through the legs of Bacharach, making his debut, and then unloads on Dane St. Clair.
So Sebastian Kowalczyk started the year off with four really, really good games. Nothing like having a Polish player in Houston. We didn't let him go to Chicago or some part of America where there's a lot of Poles. And we find out there are Polish people here in Houston. There is actually a specific grocery store out on I-10 that I've found that is all Polish, with red and white on the outside, and it's all imported Polish goods. So I'm sure Kowalczyk has found that place. But, you know, this was all hands on deck defending here. The Dynamo came back to win this 2-1. They're getting points on the road. I think the question remains, how are you going to score goals? This was their second multi-goal game. But it's clearly a team built on great collective narrow defending and ball possession. And this is without Ace and Sebastian Ferreira. And those, in some ways, are a little bit of a question mark, too, how they re-enter and get back into this team.
Yeah, and given the current situation that the Dynamo find themselves in from who's available, you have to be thrilled with the way that they've started the season. And I understand your concern, Glenn, and I think that all Dynamo fans should have it, of the goals. You need to have a consistent source of goals. That was something the team lacked last season. But
saying that, they still get to the conference final,
yeah,
right? But I think if you want to get over that hump, you're going to ultimately have to find that one attacker that puts a little bit of fear into the heart. Quickly finish what you were going to say.
Yeah, no, look, I think that Ben Olsen deserves a lot of credit for what he's doing, because
no question,
the players available to him to have the Dynamo accomplish what they've accomplished early on, hats off.
All right, that's going to do it. Andrew, thanks for coming in here tonight. We really appreciate it. It's wonderful to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Anytime, tonight. Glenn. Anytime.
All right, get the podcast to this. Spotify, Google, Apple, LamontBrands.com. That's where you get your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. My birthday's coming up. I would love for people to 100% buy some of those t-shirts and drive that up. Dynamo against Austin FC. We'll be back here on Wednesday. I've got Eric Goodman of the Austin Chronicle, who does the Verde Report, coming on. We're hoping to get Sebastian Kowalczyk from the Houston Dynamo on as well. And Jordi Sunyer will be on, and we'll break down the Barcelona Champions League game. For Guillermo Lazo Romero, for Andrew Carlson, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.